Good afternoon. My name is David, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Homex 2012 Guidance Conference Call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. I would now like to turn the call over to your host, Banya Fueyo. Ma'am, you may begin.
Thank you. Before we start, I want to remind you that certain statements made during the course of this conference call about future events and financial results constitute forward-looking statements that are made pursuant to the Safe Harbor provisions of the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Forward-looking statements are subject to risk and uncertainties. Discussion of factors that may affect future results are contained in our filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission. We undertake no obligation to correct or update any forward-looking statement provided as a result of new information, future events, or changes in our expectations. On the call today with me are Gerardo de Nicolás, our Chief Executive Officer, and Carlos Moctezuma, our Chief Financial Officer. I will now turn the call over to Gerardo.
Thank you, Vania, and good afternoon to everyone on the call. We appreciate that you have joined. Today, we would like to share with you our view and outlook for 2012 in each of our four divisions, Mexico, International, Infrastructure, and Tourism. Once again, we expect to deliver solid revenue growth across all of Homex in 2012. I will begin by discussing our Mexico division, as it is the core of our operations and will continue to be the main source of revenues for the company. In Mexico, we will continue to focus on the affordable entry-level housing segment, where today we maintain an industry leadership position. For 2012, we remain strategically positioned as we have been able to successfully adapt our business model to new trends and market conditions to secure our long-term growth while at the same time minimizing our investment. As many of you already know, as we and the government have been outspoken about it, the creation of better planned communities with vertical construction playing a key role is a top priority. As a result, the federal subsidy program for 2012 calls for a budget of approximately 9.4 billion pesos, clearly benefiting vertical units, in addition to the fact that the 2012 budget represents a 70% increase when compared to the 2011. As of today, vertical construction represents nearly 40% of our product mix. Most of the initial learning curve is clearly behind us. By the end of 2012, we expect vertical construction to represent approximately 45% of our total mix. For the construction of our vertical prototypes, our installed capacity is sufficient to support our continued growth. As well, I would like to highlight that our land bank in Mexico is most adequate, and it's aligned to the location score that CONAVI is recommending through its score system. Therefore, our land bank tool is suitable for continuing alignment into vertical construction and the creation of better planned communities, following the Comunidad Homex strategy. Moreover, Infonavit will start a pilot program in support of vertical construction, where collection of vertical buildings in the affordable entry level will start before its total completion at a potential 75% of construction advance. Through the anticipated collection of vertical units, our working capital cycle could further improve. Importantly, we have not incorporated the potential upside of this program in our 2012 projection. Furthermore, Infonavit has an additional pilot program to increase between 10 to 13% the purchasing capacity of customers who acquire a vertical home in some municipalities in the state of Mexico, Monterrey, and Guadalajara. As for demand in Mexico, we expect to continue to gain market share at the 34 cities and 21 states where we have operations today and where we continue to see reduced competition in a very fragmented industry, as well as solid demand for our product offering. We will continue to focus on attending the affiliated demand in Infonavit and Foviste, while at the same time following closely the development of the program to attend the non-affiliated segments, which in 2012 called for approximately 20,000 mortgages, and where we anticipate to participate actively. As a result of what I have discussed, we are confident that we can achieve solid revenue growth in Mexico in the range of 7 to 8% during 2012, at the same time achieving a positive free cash flow generation for the division. Now turning to Brazil, our first international project. Through almost 2 years of ground experience in Brazil, we continue to be confident in this market opportunity, particularly as we have gained valuable experience there and made important improvements in operating efficiency, which we have recently shared in detail in our third quarter call. But I would like to emphasize that most meaningful improvement we have made is finding the most efficient working capital cycle methodology by better aligning the titling process to sales and construction, while at the same time reducing the time from when a client signs the purchase agreement with us to the time when the home is titled. These strategies will help us to continue to speed up the collection process, of course, enhancing our working capital cycle through 2012. As well, we are confident that today's lengthy administrative process with Caixa will continue to improve, as we are active witnesses to the strategies that they are implementing to improve the overall process. For 2012, we expect an important triple-digit revenue growth in the range of 135 to 160%, delivering approximately 2,100 to 2,400 units, and we continue to feel confident that we can capitalize on our proven experience in Mexico, where we also started as a small developer and became market leaders and have similar success in the Brazilian market. Our infrastructure division has become an important source of additional revenues for the company, and importantly, this speaks for our ability to expand our capabilities and knowledge as a construction company into other opportunities. Our initial efforts in this division have been as a subcontractor on a state and federal government projects. Importantly, these types of contracts represent higher returns and positive cash flow for the company, as a down payment is always involved, and we receive payments as we advance on the execution of the project. For 2012, our infrastructure division will have two separate and independent sources of potential revenues. The first one, the continued execution of building service contracts that we have with federal and state governments as subcontractors. The second one will be related to the previously announced contracts that Mexico's Public Security Secretary, or SSP, awarded us to build and operate over a 20-year term, two federal penitentiaries, one for 5.2 billion pesos and the other for 5.4 billion pesos. Here, we will receive guaranteed monthly payments from the SSP over the 20-year period. It's important to highlight that through the execution of these contracts, we are securing three sources of revenues coming from, one, the construction of the penitentiaries, two, the operation, and three, the financing. As well, to reduce our operational risk, we have associated ourselves with companies in Mexico and internationally with proven experience in the construction, planning, and operation of the services where we are committed to provide over a 20-year term, such as laundry, food, gardening, design, etc. In addition, we feel confident about the execution of the construction contracts, as we are using our management construction capabilities to ensure tight cost controls in these projects. Moreover, for us, the construction of the penitentiaries is equivalent to the civil works that we usually do in our housing projects using our existing construction technology. To be more illustrative about this, the civil construction of a penitentiary is equal to the construction of approximately 2,000 homes, and we currently build approximately 1,000 homes per week. In regard to the required technology on these projects, we will subcontract suppliers already approved by the Mexico Public Security Secretary. Moving to the revenues for the execution of these projects, revenues from the construction of the federal penitentiaries according to the Mexican financial accounting standards will be recorded using the percentage of completion method, where accounts receivable related to prison construction will be amortized over the 20-year period, without including the expected revenues from the construction of the two federal penitentiaries, we expect our revenues to grow steadily by 5%, representing 5% of total revenues. When considering the two federal penitentiaries, the contribution from the infrastructure division could represent up to 29% of total revenues, thus driving HOMEX's total revenue growth to a double-digit high rate of approximately 37 to 39%. Considering that approximately 20% of the construction of the prisons will be advanced during the fourth quarter of 2011. Our tourism division continues to be a long-term growth opportunity for us, and the tourism market continues to be activating in Mexico. Importantly, our product offering is already aligned to current worldwide economic conditions, making our second and vacation homes more affordable to a wider market audience. We foresee a different dynamism in the tourism market in the country, and accordingly, in our initial plan, we have acquired land in other markets. As part of our resizing strategy in our tourism division, during 2012, we intend to sell a portion of our tourism division land inventory, thus reducing our investment in the division. During 2012, our expected revenue growth for the tourism division is 30 to 40%, representing less than 1% of total revenues for the year. Now, I will turn the call over to Carlos, who will discuss in detail our expectations for margins and free cash flow generation for the year.
Thank you, Gerardo. Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for your time today. I would like to start with an overview of our margin improvement efforts. In 2012, we expect to continue to achieve efficiencies from our ongoing corporate and branch office administrative restructuring, as well as from the increased use of our aluminum mold construction technology in both Mexico and Brazil. At the same time, as we further increase our participation in vertical construction to approximately 45% of total construction during 2012, we could achieve some margin benefits. Consequently, we expect EBITDA margin for the year of approximately 21 to 22% without considering revenue from the two federal penitentiaries and 25 to 27% when considering revenue from those projects. For 2012, we will continue to follow a conservative investment strategy, which, as Gerardo mentioned in his discussion for Mexico division, is also linked to current market opportunities where we can grow organically our operations at cities where we are present today. This will also reduce initial operating costs implicit in the opening of new markets. Turning to land investments, as of September 3, 2011, as a result of a rapid migration to higher density projects, our current land bank is sufficient to build approximately 436,000 homes or 6 years of future operations. This considers the increased density of our affordable entry projects, which increased to 70 homes from 50 homes per hectare as a result of our migration to vertical construction. During 2012, we intended to follow a conservative land replacement strategy, investing approximately 1.6 billion pesos. Additionally, as Gerardo just mentioned, we intend to sell a portion of our land inventory dedicated to our tourism division, which could bring additional resources to the company. It is important to highlight that this is the only land sales that we expect to execute, as our land bank in Mexico and Brazil is adequate to support the growth of our operations at both countries in the market segments where we are participating today. For capital expenditures, or CAPEX, our 2012 budget is approximately 530 million pesos, which considers maintenance CAPEX for our concrete plants, which have positively helped us to maintain and improve margins, and capital expenditures for the maintenance and production of our aluminum molds. Now, turning to free cash flow for the year, in 2012, we will separate our free cash flow guidance for the year in two. First, considering our four divisions, but excluding the contribution of revenues from the two federal penitentiaries, we expect a positive free cash flow generation in the range of 500 to 800 million pesos. Second, when considering the expected contribution of two federal penitentiaries, as the construction of the penitentiaries occurs approximately within 1 year time period, there is an initial time mismatch between the funds invested for the construction and the long-term contractual payments from the federal government for the penitentiaries that therefore will create an initial negative free cash flow of approximately 4.4 billion pesos on an accounting basis. Including the positive contribution of 500 to 800 million from the other divisions. However, the initial negative free cash flow of these projects will be funded primarily through long-term financing from a government development bank as an attractive rate that is non-recourse to the company, and therefore the operating cash flow from our other three divisions, including our building services contracts with the government, which are separate from the penitentiaries, are not affected nor compromised for the funding of the two federal penitentiaries. For your convenience, on a quarterly basis, we will be reporting our free cash flow results separately, as previously discussed. This discussion is somewhat complex, I agree. Those of you who have additional questions after our Q&A session, please don't hesitate to call me or Vania. It's also important to highlight that starting in 2013, principal and interest payments from the non-recourse debt associated with the prisons projects will be served through the monthly payments that we will start receiving from the federal government from the operation of the penitentiaries in the amount of approximately 1.07 billion pesos each annually. In relation to covenants, we expect to be in full compliance with all of our outstanding debt covenants in 2012 as a result of our expected revenue and EBITDA growth in our four divisions. Under both scenarios, including and excluding expected revenues contributions from federal penitentiaries. Moreover, we expect to reduce our housing business-related debt as a result of the expected positive free cash flow generation from our housing operations. My final comment to addressing a recurring inquiry that we have received during the last months about the implementation of IFRS effective in 2012. We have a dedicated team that has been working for the last 2 years to fully understand the implications and required accounting changes to timely comply with this implementation. As a general overview of the impacts of the migration into IFRS, the main lines that will be affected are property and equipment, which will expect a one-time effect from the initial assessment to determine the fair value, and then that value will be depreciated as usual. Please keep in mind that this line is only representing 2.3% of our total assets. And land inventory will have to be adjusted by the inflation effect from the historical B10 bulletin. As a result of our historically conservative interpretation of accounting rules, also related to our U.S. GAAP reconciliation that we do on an annual basis as a result of our dual listing in the Mexican Bolsa and NYSE, we do not expect an important impact from these inflation adjustments. The impact in these two lines will also have a respective effect in deferred taxes. All in all, today, based on the assessments that we have performed, we do not expect a significant impact in our shareholder equity. As I hope you can see, OMEX is well positioned to grow during 2012 at the same time as we follow a strategy focused on preserving cash and reducing our debt financing needs. And importantly, our 2012 strategy is well supported by our past investments that today have strategically positioned us to deliver on solid revenue growth at each of our four divisions, at the same time that we continue to maintain and improve our profitability. Overall, we look forward to strong performance and again in 2012 across the board. Now that we are ready for questions.
At this time, I would like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Your first question comes from the line of Carlos Perelongue with Merrill Lynch.
Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen, for the call. A couple of questions related to the prisons. You mentioned during the call that you will contract a supplier for the operations. Could you clarify this? Does this mean that you will contract a company that will take care of the operations that you have to do on the prisons? Is that correct?
Yes, Carlos. We will be working and maybe creating some joint ventures with companies that already are providing those services in Mexico and outside of Mexico, and a portion of the services will be subcontracted to companies with experience in related activities to reduce the
And in terms of the SG&A of the PPS, the prisons over revenues, can you give us an idea of what that will be next year and, more importantly, in 2013 when the operation starts?
Carlos, we will, as you said, the operation will start in the second half of 2012, and today we are not able to provide the specific details on the SG&A for the prisons. But as you can see on our EBITDA margin, you can see that the margin is much higher in the prisons than the regular housing activity. And we are confident that we will be able to improve those margins during the first half of 2012 with better negotiations with these subcontractors.
Understood. And last question, if I may. You mentioned that for the housing division, you expect a positive free cash flow next year of $500 to $800 million. And you also mentioned that you expect to sell some land on the tourist division. Can you give us a rough idea of what the inflow from the sale of this land would account for of these $500 to $800 million? And in terms of working capital, which account will show the improvement? Will it be mostly inventories and land, or is there other working capital accounts we should consider?
Carlos, ¿cómo estás? The $500 to $800 million free cash flow outlook that we just gave is not included. Is not including the possible land sales related to our tourism divisions. The possible impact of that, the possible net impact of those sales is about 100 million pesos, which is related to our non-strategic businesses.
Got you. So basically, most of the improvement comes not only from the growth in EBITDA, but also from inventory and lower land, as you replace less land than what you are consuming, considering that you now have higher density per square meter on the land that you hold?
That is totally correct, and that's the outcome of the strategy that we have followed across the board in the company throughout the year.
Great. Gerardo and Carlos, thank you very much.
Thank you, Carlos.
Your next question comes from the line of Armando Perez with GBM.
Yeah, hello. Just two questions, if I may. How much will the capex of the two penitentiaries represent? And if you could give us a guidance of depreciation. And also, could you give us more color about the accounts receivables of penitentiaries? For how long will they be paid and how much will they amount? Thanks.
Armando, how are you? If I understood you correctly, the capital expenditures from the prisons is included in the financing of both projects. And regarding the inflow flows from the security ministry in Mexico, 1.07 billion pesos each for 20 years, the contract.
Sorry, but will there be, I meant the precision capex, maintenance capex. Will there be maintenance capex in this project?
No, the number that we just mentioned of 530 million pesos is the capex for mostly for the concrete plant and the aluminum mold maintenance facility. We are not including and we are not considering the capex for the penitentiaries because, as Carlos just said before, that those are included in the financing to build the penitentiaries.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Armando.
Thank you, Armando.
Your next question comes from the line of Francisco Chavez with Bancomer.
Yes, hello. The question is regarding the penitentiaries. And the revenues that you expect from the construction will be cash revenues or will be only accounting revenues and will be matched with accounts receivable?
Francisco, how are you? No, the revenues, as you mentioned, are non-cash, are accounting revenues on the construction. The actual flows will come once the ministry, security ministry, start providing us with the annual payment for the two prisons. That is because the prisons are accounted under the advance of completion method, and it creates, as you mentioned, the non-cash effect in the revenues versus the accounts receivable line.
So the cash revenues will be growing around 10 to 12%, right? That will be the guidance for cash revenues.
That is correct.
Okay, and I have also another question regarding the free cash flow, excluding the penitentiaries. Can you give us an idea of the seasonality of this free cash flow in the first half of 2012?
Hi, Carlos. Francisco Serrano. We believe that we will follow a similar seasonality than previous years. Maybe will be slightly higher. Maybe slightly higher in the first half compared with 2011 because of some situation with the presidential elections. But I think that you can consider the seasonality of previous years as a forecast of what will happen during 2012. But the guidance that we are giving is for the full year.
Okay, and any idea of the free cash flow for this year?
For 2011, you mean?
Yes, for 2011.
We guided the market for to reach neutral free cash flow to positive free cash flow during the year, and I think we are very on target to get very close to neutral during the year.
Great. Thanks.
Thank you, Francisco.
Your next question comes from the line of Vanessa Quiroga with Credit Suisse.
Hi, thank you for the call. Good afternoon. I have some questions about the free cash flow, including prisons. Can you walk us through the cash flow from the 500 to 800 million pesos that you will generate from the operations excluding prisons? How do we get to minus 4.4 billion?
Vanessa, how are you? Well, the 500 to 800 million is in Mexico, as you point out. The 4.4 billion pesos that we presented to you, including the penitentiaries, obviously take into consideration those 500 to 800 positive billion. In other words, the prisons business generates a negative free cash flow in the range of 5 billion, and if you subtract the 500 to 800 billion, is what we presented to you as a 4.4 billion negative.
cash flow for the entire business.
But how do we get to that minus five? Sorry. I mean, we have the EBITDA from the construction, from the construction of the prisons, which could be around 2.5 billion pesos, right? Then we have negative receivables of about 10 billion. We are still at negative 7 billion, more or less. And then you have interest expense, right? So how do you get to minus 5?
Let me see if I can walk you through, Vanessa. You have a net income of 2.2 billion pesos, right? And you have the outflows of about 2.5 billion pesos that are related to the accounts receivables. And then close to 2.2 billion pesos paid to the changes in the balance sheet and the assets. Those three are the main lines of the 4.4 billion pesos that were there. I think it will be clearer if we can share with you these numbers with you and the rest of the audience, probably these numbers for you to see. Unfortunately, we cannot give you much of the detail that the model has for obvious reasons, but we can give you the main lines to get to the 4.4.
And Vanessa, this is Vania. We can, basically, with the information that you have from the margin for the dividends and the total effect and the changes of the accounts receivable plus the accounts payable, you can get to the 5 billion negative that approximately we will have from the penitentiaries plus the 500 to 800 million positive from the other divisions. So that's how you get to the 4.4. That includes the positive contribution of Mexico and the other three divisions.
Okay. Can you repeat the number of accounts payable for the prisons?
That part of the information we cannot disclose. Information that we can disclose is basically what you already have about the margins. And what you mentioned about the accounts receivable that will be related to the revenues that we will be booking. So with that information, you can make the reconciliation of the numbers.
Okay. Yeah, no problem. I will work with those numbers. Thank you.
Oh, thanks. Thanks to you.
Your next question comes from the line of Rafael Pino with Morgan Stanley.
So good afternoon, everybody. Carlos, I'd like to first a couple of quick questions. You're talking about free cash flow. Just to understand, your definition here is free cash flow to firm, right?
The brand is free cash flow to equity.
Free cash flow to equity, great. Okay. So one question, you mentioned you're going to have a sort of non-recourse facility with the debt related to the prisons. Just trying to understand how's the structure of that. I mean, when you mean it's non-recourse, you mean it's not going to be consolidated under Homex. What's special about this debt compared to the other debt sitting on your balance sheet right now? Apart from the cost, obviously, from the development bank cost, which I kind of assume it should be cheaper than other lines, right?
Yes, thank you, Rafael. The debt from the two penitentiaries will be reflected in the balance sheet, therefore will be consolidated. The reason is because we are wholly owners of the subsidiary that holds the concession, so that you will see that effect of the higher debt in our balance sheet. The debt coming from the National Development Bank, as you well mentioned, with an attractive rate, is taxed as a project finance type of debt. Therefore, the processes that particular line of debt in the liabilities will not be considered, should not be considered in the calculation of the restrictive covenants or the financial covenants that we have with the current debt. And there are
several processes involved. No? In the case of the U.S. dollar-denominated senior bonds, the company is following the process established in the indenture to appoint the related subsidiaries as unrestricted subsidiaries, so that in effect of the covenants, so that in effect the covenants will not apply to those subsidiaries. That's what is particular about those type of subsidiaries.
Okay, so they will be on the balance sheet. If I got this right, they will be on the balance sheet, but they won't count when it comes to your covenants. All right. And one last question. You mentioned that one of the intentions here is that the positive cash flow that you intend to generate on the housing operations, it's going to be used your debt's going to be reduced by the cash flow. So should we assume that that cash generation is going to be integrally used to pay that? Can we use that as a sort of a guidance or not?
Yes, we will use the generation of the housing business will be used to lower the indebtedness of that particular business.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Your next question comes from the line of Brian Strail with INCA Investments.
Hi, good afternoon. I just have one quick question regarding the monthly payments from the prisons. It says in the release, and I thought I had heard previously, that these payments would start in 2013. During the call, I thought I heard you say that they would start during the second half of 2012. So I just wanted to clear that up.
We expect that the payments will start in the second half of 2012. And it's just right after we deliver the completed project, and the public security secretary starts with testing the prison. Then we will start the collection, and the 20-year period will start.
Okay. Do you have any clarification when in the second half, or are you just leaving it vague at the second half?
Today we're expecting that we will start collecting from the federal government in the second half of 2012.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian.
You have a follow-up question from the line of Carlos Perelongue with Merrill Lynch.
Yes, thank you. Two follow-ups. First, do you have an idea of the maintenance capex for the prisons? Once you deliver the prisons and they are operational, what should we think as a percentage of revenues that will be the maintenance capex for the prisons? And the second question is related to the last one. Do you expect to complete the construction of the prisons by June of next year or by September of next year?
Hi, Carlos. On the capex that we are guiding for 2012 of $530 million, we are not including any capex from the penitentiary, and today we will not be disclosing that number. For the delivery of the prisons, we are expecting the third quarter of 2012. We cannot provide a specific day or month.
Right.
But today we are expecting to deliver those projects on the third quarter of 2012.
Okay. Would it be fair to assume that the maintenance capex, once you've delivered the prisons for the prisons, is fairly low as a concession, or because without that it's hard to value the prisons or try to get a rough estimate of the value of the prisons?
Yes, Carlos. The services that we will be providing are mostly food or catering, laundry, and maintenance of the building, and we believe that it's fair to assume that the maintenance capex of the prisons will be low.
Okay. All right.
Compared with the annual payment and compared with the overall capex of HOMEX,
sure,
will be low.
Understood. Great. Gerardo, thank you very much.
Thank you, Pedro.
You have a follow-up question from the line of Armando Perez with GBM.
Yes, thanks. If you could share with us the revenues you will recognize from prisons in this 4Q11 and the EBITDA, please.
Armando, during the fourth quarter, you mean?
Yes.
During the fourth quarter, the revenues will be probably reaching between 10 to 20% of total revenues. And the margin will be fairly similar to what you have seen in the course of the year, because the impact is not yet representative in the overall business. I don't know if I answered your question.
Yes, thanks.
Thank you.
You have a follow-up question from the line of Francisco Chavez with Bancomer.
Yes, thanks. The question is regarding the penitentiary business. Do you plan to continue bidding on this kind of projects in the short to medium term, or you will be operating only these two projects? Thanks.
Thank you, Francisco. Today in Mexico, we are facing a problem with the overpopulation of the penitentiaries in the range of 45,000 inmates. And we have a need as a country to build more penitentiaries. The original plan from the federal government is to build 12. Of those 12, 8 has been assigned. And we foresee more prisons being auctioned from the federal government and from the state government, because most of the penitentiaries today has been open for more than 50 years. And for sure, we can offer a better design that is more efficient in terms of operational costs. And we feel comfortable that we will find more opportunities in the future to expand into this business.
Okay, thank you.
You have a follow-up question from the line of Rafael Pino with Morgan Stanley.
Carlos, quick question. Will you be providing, you kind of gave some guidance during the call, but is it possible for either you or Vanya to send us a more detailed guidance on the evolution of the construction so we can better forecast the percentage of completion revenues for the construction of the prisons? Can you give us some sort of quarterly idea of percentile evolution of the construction? Is that possible?
The company will provide to you and the rest of the market the quarterly evolution of both the debt, because you will see it in the balance sheet very clearly, and the advance of the construction, because you will see it in the assets quite clearly too. Then it will be relatively easy once we open that those lines for you to determine what is the advance that we have in the construction of the penitentiaries. The guidance, as Gerardo mentioned, and it's the tradition of the company that we provide is yearly, so we will not be able to give you a more detailed guidance. But I think you have the elements to sort it out, and you will have definitely the detail in our further quarterly reports to figure out.
Okay, thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Adrian Huerta with JP Morgan.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for the call. Just a couple of questions. One, can you give us a sense of the capacity and the size of these prisons, and then the second one is if the fee is tied to a certain capacity that could be even higher later on or even lower. Thanks.
Hi, Adrian. The capacity of the prisons will be in the range of 2,300 inmates each. That's the capacity of the prisons. And can you please repeat your second question?
Yes, if the annual fee of 1 billion and 70,000 70 million pesos, is that tied to a certain level of capacity within the prison? I mean, if at the end they have less people than that, or if they end up even having more than this 2,300 inmates number that you mentioned.
Hi, Adrian. This is Carlos. Yes, the annual fee from the federal government is tied to a certain number of inmates. We are more than confident that there's a minimum inmate number. We're confident that we will always be in that minimum inmate rate for the situation. I mean, for the current reality of the country. And the plus is that if we exceed the parameters, we also get more of the annual payments from the ministry. So we are more than confident that this 1.07 billion pesos is the conservative side of what we can expect from the ministry over the course of the contract concession.
Thank you so much, Carlos and Gerardo.
Thank you, Adrian.
You have a follow-up question from the line of Brian Strail with INCA Investments.
I just want a quick follow-up on the revenue projections for 2012. I was just wondering if that projected growth of 37% to 39%, including the prisons, if that accounts for the monthly payments, which I'm assuming is also going to mean you'll have monthly revenues that you recognize from the prisons. Does that account for them starting in the second half of 2012, or does that account for those monthly payments starting in 2013?
I understand to you correctly. Revenue projection for 2012 of 37 to 39% do not contemplate the 1 billion peso incoming contribution from the ministry. In 2012, it only relates to the advance of completion recognition of the construction of the prisons in the model that we presented to you, because we wanted to be conservative in the sense that if we finished in the second half of the year, we could take a couple of months to test the operation, and then it will have a minimum impact or a smaller impact in our revenue, in the revenue contribution that these projects may have into the 2012 revenues. That's why it's not included in the business plan that we presented to you.
Okay, perfect.
Your next question comes from the line of Rogelio Rutia with Santander.
Hello, Carlos. Thank you for the call. I have one question. You mentioned that OMEX is going to obtain a long-term financing for the construction and operation of the penitentiaries. Are you planning to put some equity into this project? And if that is the case, can you tell us the source of the resources that will be invested, assuming that you are going to pay down debt with the free cash flow that you expect to obtain from the housing business?
Hello, Rogelio. As you mentioned, we have a long-term financing, which is a project financing, which traditionally in Mexico and in the world, I guess, has an equity portion. What I can tell you is that the equity portion that the company will be or is, has been providing to this prison project is already contemplated or implicit in the financials that you have seen and you will continue to see across our reports in the coming quarters. The what I can tell you now is that the cash position that will reflect in our housing business will not be affected by this. That is a cash basket that we require to operate our housing business, and
and we're not affecting that to solve the equity portion of the other business. However, as I mentioned, this is already implicit in the financials that you will get.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
There are no further questions. Ms. Vania Huello, do you have any closing remarks?
Yes, thank you. We just want to thank you for your time today. And if you have any follow-up questions, please contact us on the usual numbers. And a replay of the call will be available within 1 or 2 hours in our webpage. Thank you.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.